Welcome to Poetically Yours. I'm Yvonne Booz. Poetically Yours showcases poems by Northern Illinois poets and some from other states. This week's poet is Veronica Noshell. It's called Letter from a Dead Baboon.
Somewhere in an office full of mahogany and the stilled breath of beasts, where the walls are paneled in tiger stripes, I am crouched for the kill, never to pounce. All potential, never kinetic. The death in my bones holds me back. I am permanently stuck midair behind an architecturally orchestrated oaken pretend. I am still swinging an airborne fist, dangerously unbalanced under the weight of a life swiped away like sawdust, stuffed inside a lie, with a chubby plastic form just a few sizes bigger than reality. Then again, it's been so long since I've eaten, I might be forgetting my own mass. Inside this fur that feels like the fuzz in an artichoke's heart instead of death and chemistry, I feel sickly owned, admired like a dead geode, rendered harmless and impotent, something a child might take to show and tell if only I was more conveniently compact, like the coyote over there, emptied out and folded over four times, stored like a tea cozy, a placemat, a letter without an envelope. In this place, I am just a banana crazy ape, and they perform this low slung hooting dance right in front of my stiff, angry corpse when the whim takes them. And I am forced to watch, frozen just an arm's swipe away, forever stuck in the second before the strike. In less than a second, I could lift them with one leather black hand and swing them in for the bite face to face. We know how to rip the nose off first when territory is insulted. The high, sharp smell of urine, it would be so easy if I wasn't dead. It can't really be that samsara ends here, in a wood-paneled square, scented of death and cigars. It can't. A wild dog's head hangs so close his whiskers brush my ear in solidarity. The torment of frozen time lingers in the gut of every one of us forced to watch the world go on through cloudy glass eyes. In the darkness of early morning, what's left of us rumbles deep as the chant of a monk dressed in dull gold and rich red, a groan so heavy in our dusty stomachs you could almost blame it on settling boards or the approach of the truck that eats garbage. It's so low you don't hear it, you feel it. Still a growl, though silent. Outside, the dogs penned between hunts feel it rise from the dirt below their pacing paws. One hound howls, releasing his fear to the sky. The cold morning air carries the thin, shrill whines of the dead coyotes forever snarling below me. Their ultrasonic songs braid together in a plate of pain that rises up and carries, and when the snow muffles all the other sounds of morning, the neighbor's Rottweiler hears and releases his fear to the ground in an expanding pool of warm urine. The serval killed for his spots, the tawny pajama soft cat for his mane, and Mary Piper squirrel for his bones cast before us amid buckhorns that still smell of fledgling virility, bent like long pianist fingers or the knobby knees of a junior high school Lothario. We are stolen, excised, and yet held still between individual hairs, the hackles that silently rise. We are a dead forest. We are an empty desert with a noise so constant you may forget to hear it, but it's there. In the wind exchanged between grains of sand like money slips between men. Listen for the wolf who still whines for his pack as the Quetzal screams through his beak forever glued. His bones ache for flight. They were built to know like breathing. It's shared by the flying fox hanging forever upside down. If they bothered to look, they could see the desperate quiver of his wings, pterodactyl-like in their enormous miniature, vibrating so quickly it's nearly invisible. A lopsided raccoon prays and prays to the father of earth and the mother of time, to our sister water who cries from the sky, to brother wood who keeps his siblings' secrets, to the metal threaded through the ground that carries our messages between them, to any God who will listen. He wants only the return of the ear that was disintegrated by the twitch of an index finger and an explosive sound as big as a falling tree. I want to apologize to that sad raccoon. His name means before dog. He hasn't even arrived, and already he's gone. It's all I can offer, an apology that's not even mine to give, a spray of Bactine on a world shot into. I'm sorry you were chased by foamy, snapping mouths. I'm sorry you were forced to climb a tree that would betray you with a bend. I'm sorry that you smelled the fruit of distillation and the high, shrill scent of sweat held by clothing. I'm sorry that the last thing you heard was their laughter. The one-eared before dog can only groan his dead, sad song high into the cold morning air, frozen forever in a stupid pose atop a wormy log. The man's little dog, the one allowed inside, hears this cry and sings it back to him whenever he's allowed in the room. His master laughs at him for being afraid of dead things and knocks the raccoon on his side to illustrate his stiff helplessness. The song rises an octave, an ultrasonic squeal that makes the mice in the walls wail. One day he will do this when the air is cold enough for the hounds outside to hear. One day, in his hunting clothes, the man will open their cages and whistle them to the truck, and one day that whistle will sound less like a command and more like a memory from somewhere deep within their own beginnings, a twisted, curling wail that rides a double helix through their ancestry, and that day the man will be taken down. Then we will wonder, if we can take down one, can we not fell them all?
For Poetically Yours, I'm Yvonne Booth.